Welcome to another podcast. You've got me here lying on the sofa because I am currently icing my ACL. For any of you who do not know, I have just maybe about 12 days ago had an operation on my ACL, so I am recovering. It's doing pretty well, thanks for asking. Anyway, it's raining cats. Hallelujah, it's raining cats. Amen. I love cats. You might love cats. Cats, 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 cats. It's raining cats. Yeah, and also dogs if you swing that way. I guess I will be getting one in August, and I know that is quite far away, but I have been wanting a cat for a very long time. And so, it's going to be my new, what this podcast is about, emotional support animal to help me with my mental health and make me feel good. This podcast is all about how cats and dogs and other animals can be very good emotional support animals, but I am going to be focusing on cats because that is what I am getting, and I am going to call it Frog. So I've been researching for this podcast that is going to be about cats and their positive effects on your mental health as emotional support animals. And because of that, I had a bath last week, and whilst I was having my bath, I was listening to a podcast all about cats, and it was called, guess what it was called? Catitude. I mean, come on, who doesn't love a good bit of catitude? So, I first had to then go and listen to the RuPaul Miley song called Catitude. Go ahead and listen to that. Catitude, 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 catitude. And in this process, I had a really severe need to paint Catitude. So, insert here, bloop, bloop, Catitude painting that I have painted, now available as a print on Etsy. Okay? From that lovely intro, without any more crazy cat talk, let's just get right into the pod. Welcome to another episode of Checking In, a How Do You Peel podcast series. Today's episode is all about our furry friends, and let's unleash the cats of calm, or trying to unleash the cats of calm. Basically, cats have serious calming effects on you, and I'll get more into that a bit later on. I am your perfect host, Georgina, and today we are deep diving headfirst into the world of registered anxiety animals, especially the furriest and most ignatic or really great of all of them, cats. I was a cat for Halloween this year. I turned up to work. I forgot that I was supposed to be wearing a Halloween costume, and everybody was dressed up and okay, showed up to work. Yeah. Now, if you know me, it won't be a surprise to you when I say that I need to a cat to keep me sane. And when I say sane, I mean like calm. When I'm feeling overwhelmed, a cat will help me. It will give me purpose. Generally any animal, to be honest. But I've been toying with the idea of getting an emotional support animal, or ESA, to help with my anxiety. So let's talk about the stats of cats and how they reduce stress. They have got a unique ability to turn a stressful situation into a comedy show. I mean, just watch cats being scared of cucumbers is enough to lift the mood. But before we get too carried away with the laughs, let's actually talk about the real deal. So for those of you who do not know what an ESA is, it's, as I said, an emotional support animal. They are like your therapist, but with fur and whiskers. Or if you have a lizard, I don't actually know if lizards have scales. Maybe you have a snake. It's got scales and a slithery tummy. They're there to provide emotional comfort and support to anyone who is battling with anxiety, depression, and also a whole bunch of other emotional struggles. ESA are kind of like a cool cousin, you could say, of service animals. Service animals are like the James Bond of the animal kingdom because they are specially trained to perform tasks. They're there to save people. But ESAs are more like a kind of buddy, coach buddy, a furry friend to lend an ear so that you can listen. They can listen to you. They can support you. You might think that ESAs are all about dogs, but don't be fooled. Cats, rabbits, a whole zoo, as I have previously mentioned, and all sorts of other animals can be ESAs too. As long as they can provide you emotional support, they're in game. But remember that ESAs are not trained like service animals are. So this is where we get into the nitty-gritty of the difference between them. They won't have the same privileges. So especially in public spaces or on aeroplanes, they might not turn on the lights, but they can brighten your day. So service animals can be around in public spaces, in places where dogs are not allowed. They can go on planes, and service animals are predominantly / always dogs. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that they're always dogs. They are kind of like superheroes. From guide dogs to diabetic alert dogs, they're like the Avengers of the animal world, which is pretty cool, I think. Which means that they're entitled to the rights and privileges under federal law, so that they can then actually truly save the day. But come on, let's get back to the cool cats. What disabilities qualify for an ESA cat or other animal? The list is long, my friends. From social anxiety to seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD, cats will have your back. They are like guardians of your mental health. This is what I need. I need a guardian. I need a guardian to look out for me that I can also take on walks. Yes, I am going to be that person who trains their cat to be on a lead and come on adventures with me, because insert clip right here of a cat going ski touring. You can see my skis there. I want this. A cat going ski touring with their owners. Like, what the actual yes, please, and thank you in my whole entire life will be the best thing ever in the whole world if that could happen to me. I mean, I'm not going to put the pressure on the cat if they don't want to, but training from an early age, I think, will be in a good spot. So let's talk about the science behind it. Having a bond with an animal is kind of like a mental spa day. It can protect you against allergies. That, I think, is super cool. It can't protect everybody. Obviously, once you're older, you're more likely to be allergic to things if you haven't had a cat before. But if you have young people in the environment, or you are young yourself, as in under the age of 16, it will help boost your resilience, which is so cool. They've done some amazing trials to prove this, or find this out, which is, I think, amazing. It even lowers your cholesterol levels. It's like your daily dose of emotional vitamins, which I think is a really cool way of explaining it, to be honest. And if you're feeling lonely or anxious, a cat is your best way to help that stress disappear and make the loneliness disappear as well. They're the ultimate furry friend. Obviously, other animals too. And they just have this magical way, for me anyway, of making stress disappear, which I think is really cool. And that will be the same for other people who maybe are not cat people. I'm not really sure how you can not be a cat person. I'm a cat and a dog and all animals person. So anyways, enough said. Did you know that stroking a cat can help Alzheimer's patients remember fond memories? They did a trial that tested, they basically brought in cats, and they also, in other places where they didn't have real cats, they used kind of like fake stuffed cat animals that have like very similar style fur to a real cat. They used these real cats or fake cats to do this trial to see what effect they would have on Alzheimer's patients. And they found that helped them remember fond memories, which is just absolutely incredible. It's like a nostalgia machine, but in a fur coat, which I just think is amazing. Textures, tactile things, smells, they help you remember things. And it's all backed up by science. Research involving the release of dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, and oxytocin in your brain, those things can be released by stroking a cat, especially oxytocin. So interacting with your cat boosts oxytocin levels in your brain. It's like a little love potion, only fluffier. I hope you don't mind all of my puns, because I'm going to keep doing them. And if you do mind, I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep doing them. And I'm also not sorry. Anywho, let's get on with it. Oxytocin decreases cortisol levels, which is the stress hormone in the body. So it's like a natural anti-anxiety remedy, just like hugs, which I have previously mentioned. But my sister told me that only 7 seconds, need to have a hug for 7 seconds, and that will then start to release oxytocin in your brain. So 8 hugs a day for at least 7 seconds each keeps the doctor away. Like, come on, that is amazing. Let's just regroup and go back to the beginning. Stroking a cat, releasing or interacting with a cat, feeding it, playing with it, stroking it whilst it's purring on your lap, running away from it, playing chase, going ski touring with it, going outside with it, letting it experience the trees. That all releases oxytocin, which decreases cortisol levels, which is your stress hormone. Absolutely amazing. Human and animal contact is needed to help us thrive. Here's another incredible trial that was done with chemotherapy patients. They gave patients, whilst they were getting their chemotherapy treatments, they gave the patients a cat to stroke during the treatment. And it was amazing to see the differences that just simply stroking a cat had on these patients. They found that oxygen levels went up in their blood. Depression, the feeling of sadness, went down in the patients, and the nurses also reported less stress and more happiness within the ward and themselves. It's like a cat can be prescribed for my mental health. So I am actually going to, like, in all seriousness, I am going to talk to my psychiatrist about this when I meet her. She's a new psychiatrist to me. I'm changing over to a different person. And yeah, I'm going to find out more about emotional support animals from her when I meet her and what she thinks of this idea. Now, why do cats have this superpower? They've got extremely strong personalities and bucket loads of confidence. So they encourage us to be confident and silly without kind of caring about what's going on. Because, you know, when you meet a baby and you put your baby voice on, or you meet a dog and you put your baby voice on, or, you know, you just get all cute and cuddly and excited. That's kind of, they just encourage us to be more confident. And they're also a good little icebreaker. So, like, if somebody says, I've got a cat, you say, oh, I've got a cat, and you can show pictures of a cat, great. Or if you don't have a cat, you can simply just share funny cat videos or dog videos and stories, and that just helps us connect with other people. So I think another incredible thing about any emotional support animal is that they just give you that a little bit of an extra boost of confidence to talk to people who you don't know very well about a subject that everybody enjoys, animals. And let's not forget about the power of purring. The frequency of purring is a healing frequency. It's like a sound bath. I don't know if you've ever gone to a sound bath. I do highly recommend going to a sound bath. I went to one when I was after having a very difficult panic attack, not immediately after, but a few days after, and it was absolutely incredible. I cried whilst I let these emotions out, which is highly encouraged in a sound bath. But you can have your own sound bath at home, and also the vibrations whilst you're stroking your cat, whilst it's on your lap, it's a calming effect. It's a healing frequency that can calm your nerves, and that in turn, I like to think, soothes your soul. And like, the sound of it is so serene and, oh, chef's kiss. I absolutely love it. So let's just remember whether you're a dog person, a cat person, or somewhere in between, animals have an incredible power to make add a little bit of comedy into your life, and a little bit of drama, a little bit of a heartwarming adventure, looking after something else that's not yourself, will give you purpose. I just think they're our furry little therapists. They need more credit, and I think it's an incredible way to kind of get a little bit of therapy out of your everyday life. They can also become like loyal friends and partners in crime. And let's just embrace the animals in our lives and thrive with them. Let's thrive with their confidence. Obviously, every animal has a different personality. So do we. And often we are drawn to those, if we adopt an animal from the shelter, we're drawn to the ones that come up to us. They can feel our energy. We can feel theirs. It's natural. And so I am counting down the days till I get my cat. I'm going to call it Frog. I already have a bowl for it that I made at Pottery, and I engraved frogs on the outside and painted them to put food in it to feed my beautiful emotional support animal. So thank you so much for tuning in to this, a bit of a silly episode, but also fun, and another way to help us help ourselves a bit of a different way. You don't always have to speak to a human, speak to an animal. And may your day be filled with the perfect amount of laughter and fur-covered joy. Or scales, if that's what floats your boat. Keep it sweet, parakeet, and ciao for now. Bye-bye.